pain that would be involved in having to manage a directory full of 2 million key files. And I would imagine that people like Jacob and other security experts would be horrified. And would, any solution you're going to build is basically going to involve you building an HSM yourself, and you might as well use a real one. Hopefully it was made by a security expert. I don't know if you, your products have support for HSMs in them. I don't remember hearing that specifically in your...
Well, let me answer that one since I think I was the guy that brought up 300,000 zones. I didn't have time in the short presentation that I had to give to talk about, you know, how do we store the stuff and how do we keep it secure. In the case of our product, those keys are actually stored in a database, but what I really didn't have time to go into is the architecture of our product, which is our own operating system essentially running on a standard piece of HP server hardware, utilizing a trusted processor module that's inside that hardware to always encrypt the keys as they're stored on disk, using the TPM chip for the root encryption key that keeps those keys encrypted. So this is kind of a long conversation probably we'd have around how do we keep those keys secure. But it probably many people in the audience may be thinking, okay, well, this is a standard Linux operating system running on a standard piece of hardware, and if you have all these keys lying around on hard disk, how can you possibly keep those safe? That's quite a bit different from the way that we've actually implemented this. We are getting FIPS certification on the product. I expect level 3 certification for the product when we're complete and out of the lab, which is the same level of security that you'd see in many of the crypto cards that are being considered for deployment. The Sun card, for example, that was talked about earlier is also a FIPS level 3 compliant card. So I think you bring up a valid point, but it's certainly something that that we've taken into account in the design of our own system and how we store the keys and how we protect them on disk, without necessarily having to go to utilizing hardware. It actually, this gives us a great deal of performance to do this stuff in software, and part of the reason that we can handle the load associated with either very many zones or very large zones. So we're getting huge, huge signing performance gains over standard software for signing zones based on the cryptographic algorithms we're using and the fact that all this stuff is stored right in the software without having to go out to a piece of hardware to retrieve it. So the proof's in the pudding, though. You have to see it with the real data and see that it meets your particular requirements.
Hi, I'm Robert Martin from the Danish Registry. We have no DNSSEC experience at present, so I'm a bit surprised when you talk about millions of keys, because I was hoping you could like have one master key and sign all the zones under your authority with that one. Isn't that so? Does anyone know? You probably know more than me.
You would, of course, have one master key per, the key signing key per zone. Yeah, but in this case, as Mark is telling us, they have like one master key per box for encrypting the other keys, but that's just operationally.
That's right. So our master key encrypts the public and private keys that are used per zone. So we also use a KSK and a ZSK per zone with a backup KSK and ZSK for rollover purposes. So when you multiply 300,000 zones times at least 4 keys, you pretty soon you're up into the millions of keys that you're managing. So that's when that's when you get up into that volume of keys, which is why signing so many zones becomes, a big challenge on the key management side. If you're a TLD, you would typically have, a key pair for a very small number of zones, and you're nowhere near that kind of volume.
No, I'm just thinking for, like, Loopia or something, if they couldn't have, like, one or two zone signing keys for all their zones and just send that to the TLDs.
They certainly could. That would be, with the current tools, that would be the choice of the ISP or the registrar. For security purposes, however, you may want different keys, you know, a unique key pair for each of your clients, so that if there were any problem with a key, the damage or compromise is limited to just to one client, not the rest of your clients. So that's a policy decision that the service providers or registrar would make.
Okay, thank you.
I have actually a small question to my friends here. Is there a need for a common way of expressing the policy? Basically, as we try to do in OpenDNSSEC, we try to describe the policy parameters, basically. And what I would like to do is to take that same type of parameters and use that for some other vendor, or at least a vendor that uses the same parameter for the same thing. So if I say signature lifetime, we actually mean the same thing, which we currently doesn't, I think. Am I right? Or maybe we mean the same thing.
Of course, for us as a tool vendor, that would be heaven, because we then would not have to have different interfaces to different vendor products if they all have the same standard on describing a policy. That would be nice. So we would be happy about that. Sometimes the vendors are not happy about that because, of course, that makes their the vendors of the key signing probably, because you can then easily exchange them for others. But
well, as I was listening to your presentation, I saw a great deal of similarity between the approach you're taking with OpenDNSSEC in terms of separating the policy from the actual engine that does the signing, just the same approach that we've taken in our product. So the syntax that we use for capturing that policy in our configuration file, of course, I think invented before we were aware of your effort there. I don't think it's a huge technical issue, and certainly not any other kind of an issue for us to contemplate down the road, you know, being able to read either our own syntax or some other standard syntax that might evolve. So I don't see that as a problem from our perspective.
I don't think it's necessary to actually read each other configurations or syntax. It's just that we actually mean the same thing and can configure the same set of parameters. Otherwise, we will confuse the zone administrator a lot. Yeah. And I'm not sure that's a good thing to do at this point.
Yeah, it's John Dickinson again. I just wanted to, on that point, Stephen and I and Johan, Aaron, are working on a draft about this subject. And we weren't specifically thinking of it as a language definition, but it could be. And it certainly should contain all the terms that would be needed. So there is stuff going on that.
This is Shane Kerr from Affilius, and I come from the context that I've been looking at signing.org, and we're actually looking right now using a Secure 64 product. So when you saw them talking about the the big TLD is working with, and it's been us. The one thing that I wanted to mention in response to something that Roy said is about the NSEC 3 with the opt out, which does actually make signing.org palatable for us, because our machines simply don't have enough RAM if we were to actually use if we weren't to use opt-out. One of the things that we've considered, and there's also the problem that was discussed earlier about how do you transfer all this signed data to your secondaries and things like that. If we set the key life at one day, I think we'd be talking about 10 times as much, maybe 100 times as much data transferring all continuously, because we do updates every minute. So that's a problem for us. But with opt-out, as Roy said, it's 0.00001% more. But one of the issues relating to that we have considered is kind of a success catastrophe. If one of our registrars does go and decide as a value added for their customers to sign 300,000 zones all at once, then all of a sudden, this theoretical problem of all these extra signatures to handle and all this extra data to move around becomes a very real problem right away. We right now are basically hoping that that's not going to happen on day one, and we also hope there's not that many registrars that we're talking about. There's not a million registrars in the world, so it's likely that anyone doing this would use it as a PR event. And we'd have some advance notice. And we don't actually expect any problems if we have an extra 300,000 signed zones. If we have an extra 3 million signed zones, then we need to start wringing our hands a little bit. Actually, we can handle We can certainly handle 10% of our zones being signed, which is something like 2 million zones. I've tested that in the lab without any real problems. When we do try to sign the entire zone, or have DS records, rather, for the entire zone, then it becomes unworkable. So, and I know this, I've done a little bit of testing in the lab. We currently run NSD and Bind for our authoritative servers. Both of these products support NSEC 3 right now, kind of. NSD has supported it for months now. Bind 9 just came out with an alpha 2 weeks ago, Joel? Yeah, something like that. But I've been working with some of their CVS release code, so we do have a little bit of experience. The Secure 64 guys have discovered some performance problems with NSD code, which are being addressed right now. I think it's sufficient to say that the software is quite leading edge right now. We have some months before we're actually going to put it into live production. We're actually working right now on making a publicly visible signed version of .org. I hope to have that for the Write meeting next week, so that you guys will be actually be able to query this on the internet. We're putting the duct tape around the parts right now and praying, but it looks like it's going to work pretty good. There's going to be some talk by the PIR, which is the organization that manages org, in the business-oriented stuff this afternoon, where they're going to talk about dealing with the registrars and things like that. So if you're interested in this .org stuff from the non-technical side, that's going to be interesting for you to do as well. And feel free to come and talk to me with any questions about this stuff, about what I've been doing to test it. That's all.
I have one question. We've been talking a lot about key security. At the last IETF in Dublin, Paul Hoffman said, essentially, you can't break a key, or you can't break the key by examining the data. So in which case, the key security is really down to how you keep the keys. So any breach of security will come from the manager of the zone. Now, if a key is broken because the security at the server or at the signer is broken, can you then say that the remaining keys are secure? We've been talking about hundreds of thousands of zones, and Mark, you were saying that the reason you have a separate key for each zone is in case one of the keys is compromised. But if one of the keys is compromised, shouldn't you assume that all the keys are compromised? In which case, why not sign all the zones with one key? And if you suspect that's compromised, then re-sign all the zones.
Well, I think we